Hey, AfterBuzz TV listeners, want to share your opinions, give feedback, or tell us what you're thinking? Send us a voice message. Voice messages are an easy way for you to send us audio that might end up in the future episode of our after show. They're the latest feature from Anchor, the platform we use to publish and distribute our podcast to you for free. You could send us voice messages about all sorts of topics, questions you have for us, what the thought of the latest episode of this TV show, who we should have on the show, something you want us to do better, your best impressions of one of the characters. Anything you can think of. We'll see all your messages and we might add them into a future episode. Anchor makes that part super easy. You can send us a voice message right now from wherever you're listening. Just tap the link in the show notes. We can't wait to hear from you.
Hi guys, welcome back to Tom Girl. Tonight we have VO superstar, actor, producer, and musician Allison Packard. It's gonna be a great one. Stay tuned.
You're tuned in to AfterBuzz TV, the ESPN of TV talk. Now, let the buzz...
Is that you doing the promo?
Hey guys, we're back again. I'm JJ Juergens, your host, and I have a dear friend, Allison, here tonight. Thanks, Allison!
Thanks for having me, JJ.
I've been wanting to have you in for so long, so I'm so glad that you could make it. I really appreciate it.
We worked it out, girl.
We did. We made it happen. So much to talk about, so I'm just going to dive right in.
Yeah.
First, what you might be most well known for is that you're just a VO Wonder Woman with all kinds of animation characters that you do, promos, commercials. I mean, how much do you just love VO?
Voiceover. It's great. It's been, 12 or 15 years I've been doing this. And I think it's one of the best careers out there. Mm-hmm. There's just so many different facets, and each one is so different. They each require a little tweak and different specialties. And so it's fun to explore and see kind of, you know, what's out there and how things are changing over time, too.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Do you have a genre that is your favorite?
I don't know if I have a favorite. I mean, I love animation. I think it's so fun to create original characters, especially mm-hmm. if you're in a live group scenario where you're acting with other actors. I also really like promo, just kind of finding the essence of what you're trying, you know, the brand that you're bringing to the table. Mm-hmm. The same thing with commercial. I love commercial. I love long form narration. I just kind of love it all.
Yeah. And nice to mix it up too, I'm sure, for variety.
Yeah. It's definitely keeps it more interesting.
Mm-hmm. Let's talk about some of your animation characters.
Okay.
Well, we're going to play real quick for people out there listening your demo reel just so they can hear some of the characters that you do.
Okay.
So we'll go ahead and play the animation.
We have a fantastic show for you today.
Oh, sweetheart, don't worry. Mommy's here.
It's okay, baby. Did you have a bad dream? Oh, poor little guy.
They call us Four Eyes even though we save the day. Every time some white villain comes and gets in the way.
Please, you gotta meet me tonight at my place by the lake. I've come into a fortune in canned sardines.
Okay, fun time's over. Let's talk gift snooping strategy. So, where do you think Mom and Dad hid the presents this year?
My owner Amy took care of me until one day... Suddenly, I was a yokai.
When we were alive, teenagers were a scourge on our store. Always sassafrasing customers with their boomy boxes and disrespectful short pants.
Today, we're going to be working on managing our anger through movement. Just remember to breathe up through your feathers and down through your talons.
Snoopy said this was madness, but you did not listen. Now you drive me crazy. Snoopy no like.
Oh, come on, guys. Your trash. Oh, hey, no running in the hall. I said no running.
Player two defeated. Game over. Do you wish to play again?
Yes, play again.
No, do not play again. My initial thoughts were, wow, this is long.
But such variety in there and so many fun different characters. What are some of your favorite characters that you've gotten to play?
Jeez. Well, the first at the top of Good Morning, Miss Sunshine. That was the first animated series I ever booked was the Mr. Men show, which was on Cartoon Network. Mm. And I played Little Miss Sunshine, Little Miss Naughty, and Little Miss Whoops. And like three totally different characters, but all three, you know, typecast again. Because, you know, some days you just feel like, oh, hi, everybody. know, like, I'm on top of the world. And then other days you're just like, what? That was the rap that you heard with the, they call me Four Eyes, even though I saved the day, that character. And then Miss Naughty was like, sometimes I just can't help myself. So it's like those that, like, being able to do three characters of that diversity in one show, but have them be regular reoccurring characters that you get to come back, and they, and the show was written like Laugh-In, so like a sketch comedy show where they had really short little scenes, and each of the characters would kind of play off each other in different scenes. So that was a really, that's one that will always stand out in my mind. And then Jibanyan, I worked on the show Yo-Kai Watch, which airs on Disney XD for season one and two, and they would just, they would throw us so many characters. They think it did like over 100 characters on the show. So I'm that you could play stuff, and I would be like, oh, is that me? I don't remember.
Wow.
You know?
And when they throw them at you, how much time did you have to try to, like, did they have direction for the character, or do you develop each one? You came up with it, or how did that process work?
Well, so it also was, it's a Japanese property, so this was an anime dub, and there was a watch that came with it. So the watch is a key element of the show, and it had these little medallions that go in, and when you'd put them in, they would call out the character's name. So, like, Jibanyan! Or, like, you know, just any different character. And so they had us do those at the top. So then we would kind of reference that. But everything was really on the fly. And there might be some viewers that are very familiar with anime and some that are new to it. But for those that are new to it, it moves very fast. You're basically, you are acting to picture. So you're watching it live and then doing the voiceover to the lip flaps. So it's a different experience than just creating original content and having the luxury of being able to pause when you want, or, you know, deliver the line how you want. You're kind of in a constant negotiation with trying to make it sound like this person already did. So
we have a couple photos of some of your characters. Well, there's a bunch of your characters right there that you were talking about. The from the Mr. Man show, there, and like, you're also Alma and Poppycat.
So Alma's peeking out behind my like left ear, the little bunny.
I think we have our photo three, two coming up. And the next, too.
She's right in the middle. I loved doing Alma, and my son, I have a 3-year-old son, and he watches Poppycat. I have an, you know, I have an iPad, and when we drive places, it only has like two shows on it. So I'm like, Poppycat it is.
How has your animation changed since having a child? Has it at all?
I definitely think it has. For one, you get to see how they react to what you do and what plays off it. And my son, fortunately, you know, knock on wood, I'm sure at some point this will change, but he thinks it's very cool. So he's always like, do that voice, mama. You know, and I'll like do, you know, something. And, you know, when we're trying to find a great character, we try to make them slightly nuanced and, you know, toe the line between keeping them realistic and keeping them fun and exciting. And I could just do my worst work, and he just like, he doesn't care. I'd be like, hey, it's mama. And he'd be like, do that. It's mama character. It's mama. You know, and I'm just like, so it's fun. It's like, it, I guess what you hope to capture when you're recording is that sense of improv and play and fun. And that's what 3-year-olds are all about.
Probably the best bedtime stories at night with your voice doing characters.
Oh, God, are you kidding me? By the end of the day, I'm so tired.
You know,
I'm
like, you're not getting them.
I can't. Okay, the end. Hop on Pop and Dr. Seuss.
What are your techniques? What are your go-tos to try to find characters?
You know, I think when I was first starting out, I took class with a woman named Dolores Steele, who, rest in peace, she's since passed away, but she was amazing. And so, you know, she starts off with just having you explore different registers of your voice. Also, Pat Fraley is great for this. So, like, explain just the same voice, but very high and higher and higher and higher. You can get lower and lower and lower and lower. And so, you know, bringing the sense of pitch, the sense of placement. Where is the sound of your voice? Is it really forward? Is it nasally? Is it further back in your throat? So kind of like you're going to the gym, exercising those vocal muscles so that they're nice and strong, so that when you get the character, you can just kind of figure out, okay, what is this person, what might this person feel or sound like? Mm-hmm. Not necessarily like trying to break it down mentally, but just kind of instinctually, like, okay, like, she's clearly, like, really emphatic teen girl, or, like, but it's a, you know, you just kind of, mm-hmm. like, hopefully play around with it and improvise. The problem is, though, that you're often auditioning by yourself, alone, in a room, which is not the best set improv comedy.
And then what are your tricks for going back? Like, you have so many characters, so do you have, like, mental pictures? I mean, the ones that don't have – one has pictures, obviously, but if they don't, like, do you have, like, kind of a Rolodex of, oh, yeah, that is – that's – she's this person, and she's, like, to get yourself back into
that moment? A catchphrase is super helpful. Okay. So, like, you know, with Jibanyan, you know, sometimes it's a long time between seasons, and so mm-hmm. when we come back, I'll just be like, Paws of Fury! I'm kind of tired right now. You know, whatever that he says a lot. Mm-hmm. And I find if I say whatever that catchphrase is, it helps me, you know, mm-hmm. jump into the mm-hmm. character a little bit more.
One in a new genre that's really picked up over the last few years, video games.
Yeah.
So I know you do a lot of video games as well. How has been kind of – they sometimes have more powerful female roles or stronger, or like the fighters or those kind of things. So you get into play. How's it going doing those kind of roles versus, animation?
You know, I kind of think of it as the difference between comedic acting and dramatic acting in many ways. The video games, they're often, and not always, but they're often looking for a more cinematic performance. So it's less presentational and more about finding the moments. So getting back to, just acting training and, okay, what are my wants in this scene, what's my relationship with this person, developing out kind of what your relationship was with the other person you might be talking mm-hmm. to. And the luxury of time can lend itself to great work, but sometimes in video games you don't get the sides in advance. So you kind of do the best you can. In some ways, mm-hmm. it's actually, that keeps it spontaneous and maybe fresh. And then there's some days you're like, okay, what's going on?
Yeah.
Okay, I'm just reading these words, but I'm not really sure. You know, so hopefully the director can help guide you. And mm-hmm. I've been able to work with some great directors like Chris Zimmerman. And, she's mm-hmm. great about, if you haven't quite nailed it, giving you that little piece of direction that's going to send you down the right path.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. What are some of the ways you've seen yourself develop over your career? Like, maybe some things you learned that you were like, oh, I wish I had known that when I first started. Or,
This business is definitely interesting. I think we all come out here with the most ambitious ideas. And I know I'm like, okay, I'm going to be doing stand-up comedy when I've been out here 1 year, and I'm going to be on a TV show. And, so it's like having a certain sense of humility and ability to appreciate where you are instead of mm-hmm. always putting yourself where you want to be. If it helps to motivate you, that's great. But mm-hmm. you have to find the joy in what you're working on mm-hmm. now. And just, continuing to generate your own work is very empowering. And so, one of the most exciting things I ever did was I put out an album a year and a half ago, and I directed 5 music videos to go along with it. And each one was like a different collaborative process. 3 of the videos were animated and 1 I was in. And mm-hmm. I mean, it was just a mixed bag, but it was like fully, fully engaged in the creative process every step of the way. And that type of thing will lift up your spirits any day. But, mm-hmm. Some days the call is not good, or some days you don't get the call. Mm-hmm. And, being able to take the ego out and see the little successes as successes too is, I think, crucial to maintaining sanity.
I loved because I've known you through voiceover, but then researching you for this.
Yeah, yes, we have the same manager.
Debbie Cope, Jenny, everybody shut up. Yeah, but then I was like, oh my gosh, I had no idea about the comedy. I didn't know mm-hmm. you had your own series on YouTube, things that you've produced and put on YouTube. And then I found the album as well. And I was like, it's just, I love that you're, that you are doing all those things.
Hopefully they'll all come together into mm-hmm. one you know, magnum opus someday.
Yeah,
but,
yeah.
You know, for now, it's just, it keeps me growing.
Mm-hmm. On the album, because it was beautiful. And I'm like, she did music videos for all of them, too. Like you were saying, it's great. Mm-hmm. When did you decide, like, that's what you want to do next? I think I heard sort of something started out as just one song, or then you went into more.
Yeah, so it was actually after I had my son. Mm-hmm. That first year, I was really fortunate in that I was working on two animated series. I was working on Space Racers and Yo-Kai Watch. And then when he was about 6 months old, I got hired to write on an animated series called Barbie Dreamtopia mm-hmm. for Mattel. And so I was just, like, so busy. And I think you have this idea that you're going to be like home with your baby, like enjoying like all this like one-on-one time. And it was really a struggle trying to find the balance between work and being a mother and the shift that it causes in just your own perception of yourself. So after that first year was kind of done and I started evaluating who am I and what do I need? I really felt like I needed to do something completely creative. Mm-hmm. So being in a creative field, you know, you do get a hit of creativity from other people working on other people's projects. But this was like, I was like, I need, and it was very inspired and it felt like, you know, a gift to just have the idea. And then I shopped around for a producer. I found this great guy, Ben Wilkins, who really, I felt, understood my vision. Mm-hmm. And he helped me bring it to life and guided me through the process of recording. And I'm just really grateful for having that experience. Mm-hmm.
And they're great lyrics. You have such a great... Would you describe yourself as indie folk, or how would you describe your music?
Yeah, you know, it's every... I guess that's probably the category it would be in, singer-songwriter, indie folk, or something mm-hmm. like that. Mm-hmm. There's some pop elements.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's beautiful. And was it Tiny Heart? Oh, I'm not going to get it
wrong. Tiny Heart.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I really like that one.
Oh, thank you.
Yeah.
Very sweet. My friend Josh actually animated that video, so.
That's what I was going to ask. I thought it was interesting how it was, if you use some of the animators that you knew from one of the shows or if it just was a friend.
Well, I was actually talking to my friend Tom Krajewski, and I was kind of describing, like, my vision for the project, and I wanted to do it animated, and he was like, well, what if you did, like, a pop-up book? And I was like, that sounds like a great idea, as if the book was, we were in the world. But then I started doing some research on paper artists. Mm-hmm. And I found some really great paper artists. And I found this one woman, Dawn Cordova, online. And she created 12 different vignettes for me. So they're like 10 by 12 paper. And with the characters and the scenes. And then I had them photographed and scanned in. And Josh then animated the shapes to make it look as if they were moving. So I'd never
That's
done
really
anything.
Cool.
I never produced a project like that. So it was, you know, probably not as efficient or speedy as one who's professional at that might do. But I really enjoyed, you know, kind of all the little challenges that came up along the way. It was a cool experience. Mm-hmm.
You definitely, between the stand-up and then producing your, you know, shows for YouTube, where do you get the drive or just the, you know, I'm going to go for it and try to do this, make this happen?
Fear.
Is a motivator for you.
I mean, I've always, like, kind of wanted to do it all. And for better or for worse, you know, if you focus on one thing, you can kind of, like, really shoot through and put all your energy towards one focus. And I think there's a lot to be said about that. And Malcolm Gladwell and the idea of the 10,000 hours and to make you an expert on something. Now, if you're splitting your time between writing and music and acting and voiceover, you're having smaller amounts to put in every bucket. Mm-hmm. So that's the like reason why maybe you wouldn't want to do that. But I recently mentored a group of students at Emerson College, which is my alma mater. And, there's kids that are just, that's how they are, you know? And you're, I think, very much like that too. You've got your podcast and your voiceover career and your producing. And for those of us that are like that, what are we going to do? Mm-hmm. I mean, it brings us the greatest joy to be able to dip our toes in lots of different things.
Yeah.
And there's a book called How to Be Great at Everything, or How to Be Great at Everything, which is also a TED Talk or a TEDx Talk. I forget the author's name, but she's fantastic. And There's actually something to be said that if you generalize in several areas, you're bringing more to the table that somebody else cannot because they don't have that perspective that you've gained through your knowledge of producing, you know. So you may have a producer on this podcast that comes in for other details and is more, you know, specialized or an engineer that's specialized in the equipment so you don't have to do it. But heading up something and CEOs and Walt Disney and different people that are visionaries operate like that. So when I read that, I felt better about myself.
Like,
it is what it is. We're all going to die someday.
Yeah. So I think it's just it's nice to have those outlets and express yourself. I don't know. Just fulfill those different forms of expression that you have floating around in there. You know?
Totally.
Yeah.
Yeah.
How was it writing? You were writing for Barbie Dreamtopia. That was after you had already been on the other side of the mic. So did you did you draw some from your experience from being on that side of mic to think for like, oh, if the character said this or
Definitely. So the first show I ever wrote on was Poppycat, which is the one that I played Alma on, and I just kind of was always like, hey, can I pitch a show? And then the second season, I can't remember, second or third, I had pitched some ideas and they liked one of them and I got to write a show and it was just great training. With Barbie, I had just had my son and also I just really love collaborating within the realm of writing. It's if I get stuck, I can bounce it back to a writing partner and then and they bounce it back to me. So I worked with my partner for that was Dana Middleton. And she's actually a young adult, a middle grade author. So there's young adult and then younger than that is middle grade. And so that was great because we both, you know, she was writing her book and I was also doing voiceover, but we got to come together and we wrote 8 episodes of that. Mm-hmm. And I'm totally find myself when it comes to dialogue, you know, you get the structure and that's kind of all down. But when it came to the dialogue, I would find myself talking to myself and like acting out the different characters and, you know, trying to take as a writer, you don't want to indicate too much to the actor about how you need it said. That's one thing you have to let go of control of that. But yeah, I totally would be like, okay, you know, and find what they were saying.
Are you wanting to do more writing in the future?
Yeah, I actually have a musical live action pilot that I'm writing with my friend Steph. And, there's a short film idea I want to develop as well. Mm-hmm. So, in terms of, like, what I want to get staffed, I'm really enjoying freelance because it gives me the flexibility to pursue acting and voiceover. Mm-hmm. But collaboration, you know, I'm really curious to see where it goes. I'm actually going to a retreat for the WGA in 2 weeks. Mm-hmm. So that's exciting. Pam Adlin and, you know, Carol Leifer. And there's just going to be some amazing people.
Great women there to collaborate with. Women. Yeah, that's awesome. Would you ever go back to revisiting your stand-up comedian days?
Oh, my God. I wish if I had all the time in the world, yes. Because I really liked it. And I think it helps you find your voice as a performer. The late nights are tough. Because now I'm in the thing where I try to wake up. You know, I was up at 5:30 this morning, and if you're out till 2:30, that is not doable.
Yeah,
so
rough.
If the afternoon coffee and stand up circuit gets up and running, I would be there in a heartbeat. I'd have to write all new material. Like, though. Yeah. I was like, well, now I'm single, and
was that your kind of this was about dating or what kind of
about dating and. You know, just things I found funny, being a woman, you know.
One other thing that I love about you is you also have a Casita travel trailer. Oh, no. Lovely Rita. I think we have a picture of lovely Rita.
Oh, goodness.
What was the desire to purchase this beauty?
Well, I love to travel, and I love going on adventures, even, you know, live in the moment, yes, but having an adventure planned makes living in the moment so much more fun. Mm-hmm. But we have a 3-year-old, and it was like about trying to find a sustainable way to travel, sustainable in terms of first and foremost energy. Because it's like if you go for and you spend a week on the East Coast, you come back and you're exhausted and you need three more days to recover and you're jet lagged, you know, so you're really tired. But this, or maybe you like you overindulge and you eat at all these great restaurants and you come back and you're like, OK, now I really got to hit the gym.
Yeah.
But camping, first of all, I love being outdoors and nature grounds me and connects me and I feel it's healthy for my son. Mm-hmm. And my husband loves it too. There he is.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, and there's so many parks I want to see and adventures that I want to have. And the fact that we're not buying something, you know, not that I don't love eating at a great restaurant or being in the city and shopping, but there's something really nice about taking a break from all mm-hmm. that. And, you know, we take photos, but we're on our phones a lot less. And it just forces us to be together as a family mm-hmm. and be sharing the experience instead of each being in our own little world.
Mm-hmm. And how did you decide on the Casita travel trailer versus, you know, anything else?
Well, my husband is an extensive planner and researcher, so he did a lot of research. It's a fully fiberglass trailer, so it's 100%. There's a Scamp is also a fiberglass trailer, but the bottoms are not fiberglass. So these... I hear that they're very reliable. I hear that they are, you know, the joke about getting a trailer is like it's just a matter of time till it leaks. Mm. And these are sort of known to be waterproof. Mm-hmm. And it has a bathroom. And it even has a shower, which we haven't really needed to use yet. It has a bed in the back, which also turns into a dinette, but we just keep it set up as a bed. Mm-hmm. And then it has a two-person dinette that might also turns into bed for my son. So yeah, it's very sustainable. Like we meal plan before we go. So like we're eating pretty healthy and we're getting exercise. And so when you come back, you know, we'll Sunday, we'll just kind of hang out and then come back and we try to make it just a couple hours, you know, radius, like a 2 to 3 hours in the car. So we're not driving ourselves crazy. And then you come back and you're like, okay, I'm ready. I'm back in my life. And there's not lag time of like, oh, you don't get the Monday blues.
Yeah. Yeah. Know? And not a full recovery from your trip. Yeah. Yeah. Where would have been some of your favorite spots you've stopped at so far?
Well, we've had it since October, I think. We're actually this weekend we're going back up to a place we went a couple weeks ago, which is Sierra Meadows. It's an event space outside Yosemite Park, and our friends actually bought it. It was a golf course that is now they've let the whole golf course go to seed, and now they've put in all these little mini cabins and tiny homes that are so cute. Oh. And they've brought in all this large-scale art, like stuff that's been to Burning Man and then doesn't have a home because nobody has acres and acres, and they have like 1,000 acres up there. So it's so fun to just explore, and they have a couple ponds on the property and a little stream running through it. And because it was a golf course, there's like a whole path. And all these golf carts you can, like, ride around. So we'll be going there this weekend for Memorial Day. And we took a trip to Anza Borrego, which is a California State Park in the northeast corner of San Diego. I'd never heard of it. It's a great place to go for the super bloom. So it's just so amazing. Like, okay, you know, the research that I'm forced to do is the research I want to be doing. You know,
where will be other than the trip this weekend? Where's the next spot that you haven't been to that you're dying to go to?
Well, so after this trip, we're thinking of stopping in Sequoia on the way back. So that'll be exciting. You know, we're all the giant, you know, just the big Sequoia trees. And I'm really excited to go to Death Valley, which looks amazing. Mm-hmm. I'm excited to go to Yosemite because we always go right by Yosemite.
But have you ever been?
To camp there. No.
Yeah, me either.
Yeah. Yeah, I want to see El Capitan. Yeah, my girlfriend wants to hike it for her birthday next year, so gotta get on that. Mm-hmm. And then, we had a couple trips planned for the summer. We're going to need to kind of shift some things around, but Pyramid Lake looks really fun. Mm-hmm. And then, of course, Carpinteria and the camping ride on the ocean when the weather gets nice would be so fun.
Hopefully sometime soon here in California. Over this rain, right?
I know. It's going to rain this weekend, too.
I know. And it's looking like it's rolling in right now, too.
Oh, yeah. Tomorrow, I think.
Crazy. I tell ya.
Right.
Let's talk. One thing we had in common, too, we talked a little bit before the show, was podcasting.
Oh,
so talk about you used to do a podcast for animation.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Guys, it was not as cool as this. Look at this.
AfterBuzz.
Yeah, AfterBuzz. Whoa, way to up-level the game. I mean, this is back in 2007, 2008, so... Podcasting was much newer, and there wasn't as many of them. I think it was, you know, it was even before Rob Paulsen's podcast, believe it or not. I wasn't as consistent as you, but I really did enjoy sitting down with some great people that worked in animation. Debbie Derryberry, Keith Ferguson, who are both voice actors. I interviewed Mitch Watson, who is a writer-producer. Craig Bartlett, who created the show Dinosaur Train, and at the time he was working on Dinosaur Train, and we went into his studios, which is on the Jim Henson lot, and explored it, but sadly I'm not doing it anymore.
I think it might be time to bring it back.
Yeah. Do you think they let me use the studio?
I don't know. You guys hear that, AfterBuzz?
Hey, AfterBuzz.
Yeah, I just think, I mean, I'm fascinated by the whole animation world. I think there's so many people out there that would love to hear our stories and from the people you interact with.
But you are doing such a great job. I know, having done it, how much work it is. And so to be consistently putting out material every week, JJ, that's amazing.
Sweet.
I'm serious. I mean, I'm very impressed. No. This is, they've branded cups. I mean.
I paid her a little bit before the show. All right. Before we have to wrap up for the night, what would be, advice people who would want to ask you, I want a career in animation or voiceover. What are some things that you would tell people?
Gosh, I feel like, you know, voice actors always say the same things. So I'm trying to think of something that would be different. I mean, you should be an actor, know how to act. It's not necessarily about having a good voice. It's sort of about what you can do with it. But I'm going to try and take it in a different direction. I would say you mentioned something earlier about being a self-starter. And one thing about voiceover is you're an independent contractor for everything. So you kind of the CEO of your own company. So you have your investment into classes and your investment into workshops and books or whatever knowledge that you're trying to infuse. And then you have, you know, maybe singing lessons or any kind of professional development. So you kind of got to think of it like that, balance the ground between art and skill and running a business, you know?
What are some of the tools you do? Because I know you have agents and managers and all of that, but what are things you do on your own? Do you do your own sort of marketing or networking or ways to grow since you are the CEO of your business?
Yeah, I do. I think, especially in this business where we don't have control at the end of the day, whether we're selected or not, it makes me feel a little bit of more sense of control if I know, okay, I'm going to send a mailing out 3 times a year to the casting directors and maybe producers I've worked with or something. So I do some of that. And after I had my son, you know, being able to add that piece was really challenging. But I think it's just being able to remind people that you're there and that you're good and that you work, you know, and being a little bit consistent with that. So I do my own marketing and all that's out of pocket. And I try to, if I can, take workshops and stuff, which I've been doing less of, but.
Your mailer, is that a postcard or is that updated demos? What's your mailer look like?
Well, sometimes it's a postcard, but the thing I'm doing right now is a one sheet. So it's, I do an email newsletter, but I find not everybody reads those. like 33% of people read them. So right now I'm trying to alternate e-newsletter and then paper newsletter, which seems pretty archaic in a way, but how many people are actually sending stuff in the mail? On-camera mm-hmm. actors and casting directors get a lot of that stuff. They get a lot of postcards and one-sheets and stuff. But I don't know how many voiceover casting directors get that kind of stuff. So hopefully, you know, the idea, yeah. the rule of sevens, and if they see you seven times, they're like, okay.
Yeah, they remember.
It's nice, pleasant newsletter. They're like, oh, yeah. Allison Packard. Okay. Oh, yeah. There. Yeah. Oh, now he's auditioned. Let me click on it. Because you never even know if they're actually listening yeah. to your audition, you know? They might.
No, and no, you know, and when I think about it, on my other side of the job, I never get CBS. I never get anything in the mail, usually, from people. I will get emails.
Thank you cards, maybe?
Yeah, mm-hmm. few and far between, mm-hmm. though, you know? Yeah. So it's like, I do get one, like, updated e-newsletter that yeah. I do read, but, you know, but it is easier sometimes just to click right through all that stuff and delete it, yeah. you know, but if I had yeah. something actually in my inbox, and actually at work, you don't get that much in your inbox as much as you do at home either, like, right. raw mailbox there.
Yeah.
So if I did get something, I'd be like, oh, I got something in the mail, so you might uh-huh. be more inclined to look at it.
Yeah.
So, yeah, no, I think it's a great idea.
You know, yeah, but then, you know, putting yourself out there also feels a little exposing, and, you know, it's just definitely easier to not send yeah. anything and just be like, I hope people like me. But then to put yourself out there, it's like you're risking being judged, you're risking immediately mm-hmm. going in the trash. So it takes courage, but mm-hmm. that's what this business needs.
Speaking of TED Talks, did you see the Brene Brown? She has a whole one on vulnerability.
The new show, that, like, the new show or
her it's an older one okay, on vulnerability, but it's exactly what you just said. It's like that's that fear, you know, of being vulnerable and putting yourself out there when you could just sit back and, you know, but you're taking the risk and it's going to pay off.
Yeah, hopefully.
Yeah, it will. All right, before we go, any last minute thoughts or any, you know, tell everybody where they can, you know, hear your voice, what characters you have going on now or any campaigns?
On the Boomerang app, you can hear, which is Warner Brothers, I'm on the new Tom and Jerry show. I play Toodles, Tom's love interest, his girlfriend. Sometimes they're married. Sometimes she's back to girlfriends. Sometimes they have kids. So that's a lot of fun. You can check that out. And, I'm the promo voice for the Ovation Network and commercials. My agent says it's always good to just keep him guessing with that. But, you know, I mean, it's great to connect online, too. I'm on Instagram and Twitter at Allison. It's A-L-I-C-Y-N, mm-hmm. like Alice, but with a Y-N mm-hmm. at the end. And, who knows? You probably have a photo or something. Yeah. I was, like, thinking. Yeah.
We'll put all that stuff on the site where you guys can track her down after two and follow everything.
Stalk me.
Yes, do it. Do it. Well, you are fabulous. I just love you. And I thank you so much for coming in. And I love hearing all your stuff. And I just hope you have more and more and more and more and more.
Thanks, lady. I appreciate it.
Of course. All right, guys. That's it for tonight. We will actually see you again. It's a rare week. We will see you again tomorrow night at a different time. It'll be at 7 o'clock. But we will see you tomorrow.
Do you know this is a...
Our founder, Kevin Undergaro, and me, Maria Menounos, would like to thank you for tuning in to AfterBuzz TV. Remember, we're not just the first, we're the biggest in the world, and we're the only destination for all your favorite TV shows. Whatever you crave, we've got it. So go to AfterBuzzTV.com and check out our lineup. Buzz you later.
The views expressed herein are those of the hosts only and do not necessarily reflect the views of AfterBuzz TV or its owners or principals.